The Big Lead is brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Catch and release. Catch and release. Over and over and over again, the most dangerous criminals catch and release around here. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios. I was going to say stream. We're not streaming on Facebook Live. We're just coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to the big show. And my goodness, we've got an awful lot of news to talk about today. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
Okay, this is unbelievable. You just heard it in Frank Shire's newscast. There is a man named Tracy Hoggett, a three strikes you're out offender. Do you know what three strikes you're out means? It means because you repeatedly commit the most serious felonies, you go to prison for the rest of your life here in our state without the possibility of parole. And Tracy Hoggett, he had a long list of criminal offenses. Robbery in the second degree, first degree burglary, second degree burglary, second degree assault, second degree theft, on and on and on it went. And enough of those were three strikes offenses, so he did go to prison for the rest of his life without the possibility of parole. So how is he on the loose today, you might wonder? Well, because in January of 2017... Governor Jay Inslee granted clemency to a three strikes you're out offender, turned him loose. Jay Inslee said that David Hoggett had taken steps to turn his life around and developed a strong sense of empathy. So after being put in prison for life without the possibility of parole, he was granted clemency by the clemency board and the governor. Well, shortly after being released, he violated the terms of his release. He had consumed alcohol, which he was not allowed to do. He was not living at an approved address. He was associating with known criminals and drug users. And so they picked him up again and put him back in prison for life without the possibility of parole. Well, guess what? Jay Inslee on Tuesday granted David Hoggett clemency, or Tracy Hoggett, rather, granted him clemency again. And the deal this time was that he was supposed to go to a halfway house down in Cowlitz County through Seattle. Cowlitz County to Seattle to Kelso was where he was going to end up. He never got on the bus to go to that halfway house, the supervised release house. He called and he said, yeah, I missed the bus. My girlfriend's going to take me there. That was on Tuesday. Now it's Friday. And this three strikes you're out offender is still on the loose. Nobody knows where he is. This is a guy who long ago in his criminal career ran to Canada to hide from people. Back in 1995, he went to Canada for 6 months to avoid trial in Cowlitz County. Would somebody explain to me how a guy who is supposed to be locked up for the rest of his life without parole. I understand we give the governor the power of clemency, to grant clemency or paroles. But they grant it, the guy violates it, and then they grant it again? Five strikes and he is out. He's free. He's running loose. I was tipped off to this story last night. I started getting texts with all the documents from David Rose, who does Western Washington's Most Wanted on Q13 News. And David's going to join me from the golf course, where he's about to tee off, at 12:30 this afternoon. And he will tell us what he knows about this story. But what a damning indictment of our clemency board, our governor, and the lack of any respect for the citizens who are victims of repeat offenders. We do the right thing as voters. We pass three strikes, you're out. And then we have politicians like Jay Inslee and the clemency board that just lets them roam free again. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
And this is a real serious issue, and you have to know what's going on with law enforcement around here. Because, as I've told you, the cops, both Seattle police, King County Sheriff's deputies, they are despondent at the chaos. I mean, in Seattle, the problem is the politicians. You have the city council that hates the police and wants to see the ultimate destruction of the police force. And I went through this in more detail yesterday. But you have a city council that wants to see the destruction, literal destruction of our police force, so they can rebuild a police department in their Marxist image. And that's why we have all the crime, all the drugs, all the homeless. And so the cops in Seattle see what's happening, know they have no support, know they have a city council that despises police officers. And so it's a real tough place to work. In King County, you have command, and I've talked extensively about the chaos with Mitzi Jo Hanknik, her chief of staff, Liz Rocha, and the undersheriff, Scott Summers. How we've had sheriff's department personnel thanking us, begging us to help. I've had some of the top people in King County government who have been telling me how concerned they are about public safety. Well, the cops today are more concerned than ever with public safety. And that's because King County Sheriff's Office has always participated in a database that all the law enforcement agencies share, all the ones that participate in it, called LINCS. And 2 days ago, yesterday rather, the undersheriff, Scott Summers, who, you know, the main incompetence seems to be coming from Sheriff Mitzi Jo Hanknik and her chief of staff, Liz Rocha. I mean, that's where everybody says these people are over their head. They have no business running a major sheriff's department. But just yesterday, they sprung this on their deputies. And we had sources that exclusively provided us what Scott Summers sent to his deputies. I'm going to read it to you. "I would like to apologize for not communicating the termination of our agreement with Northwest LINCS internally before it was terminated yesterday, and why terminating the agreement became necessary." And then he talks about all his credentials. He says, "We acknowledge and understand the impact to many of you who use this resource as part of your work on a daily basis." And so they readily acknowledge that this is a valuable resource for their officers. But, he said in this missive, he said that because of fears that ICE could access this database, even though it has no immigration status data, but they do not want federal law enforcement to have any access. So their solution, because we've got some radical leftist nuts. They are pro-crime. I'm talking about Mitzi Jo Hanknik now. They are pro-criminal. They are radical leftists who hate federal law enforcement, ICE. And so they would rather make the job much more dangerous for their deputies, and they would much rather make it far more dangerous for the public. They would rather that we be victims of crime than they cooperate with federal law enforcement. And this is what happens when you put radical, incompetent leftists at the top of a major police agency. And Scott Summers wrote, "I know that this is going to impact our ability to efficiently access information for conducting investigations and support other functions. So they know that this is going to make the public less safe. But because of radical leftist ideology, they are willing to sacrifice lives if they must. I mean, if people die because of this, and I'm talking about the public and I'm talking about their deputies, if people die because they don't have access to this database that can cross-check with other agencies and know exactly who they're dealing with, if people die, they're willing to sacrifice those human lives rather than cooperate with federal law enforcement. I'm telling you, I've been watching things around here for a long time. This is stomach churning, what's going on right now. I got exclusively, we've obtained a letter from a King County sheriff's deputy who will remain anonymous, who tells us the Lynx system is a cooperative repository for police reports from multiple agencies grouped by neighborhoods comprised of areas around the United States. It's maintained and administered by NCIS. Only agencies who input information into Lynx are allowed to access the database. And then they point out, so King County Sheriff's out now. They're out of this database. The average detective at the King County Sheriff's Office uses the Lynx system on a daily basis. The lack of access to this database negatively affects the following investigative areas: suspect contacts with other local agencies, suspect associates, no further access to addresses of suspects outside of King County, no perspective on the danger level of suspects who are outside of King County by viewing past or current cases that adversely affects officer safety and preparedness, the ability to search for like crimes or patterns of criminal behavior in neighboring jurisdictions, locating victims of property crimes in other neighboring jurisdictions, locating contact information, on and on and on it goes. The cops are telling us that this is going to put cops' lives at risk, and it's going to put citizen safety at great risk. The tipster to us said, these are just a few of the tools that are now lost to us. There's currently no other database that fills this vital role in the daily investigation of crimes. There is no reason for King County sheriffs to stop participating in this, as we contribute no data on persons' citizenship status. This will have a huge negative impact on the investigation of crimes, the communication of vital information between neighboring agencies, and result in a less safe operating environment for deputies and detectives. Once again, the political concerns of non-citizens are outweighing the ability of law enforcement to serve the community of tax-paying citizens. Because illegals have taken control of local government. Seattle police won't use this Lynx system either, for the same reason. Because illegals have taken control of local politics, we've got now in Seattle police and in King County sheriffs, with this decision by Joe Hanknick and her undersheriff, Scott Summers, they are willing to risk officers' lives, and they are willing to risk citizens' lives because they must kowtow to the insanity of this anti-ICE, pro-illegal mentality. And when you have a sheriff who puts the non-rights, the claimed rights of illegals, when you have a sheriff who puts illegals before the citizens and her own deputies, you got a real problem. You have a real problem. And so it's just another example of the unbelievable incompetence that we are seeing in this Mitzi Joe Hanknick reign. And I've heard from so many, and I'd love to hear, if you're a sheriff's deputy, you can anonymously contact us. You can text us. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. But it was an anonymous deputy who let us know about this decision and his or her feedback on what that means for deputies' safety. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable that they're willing to risk our lives so that they can have some non-existent level of safety for illegals. We got some horrible people, not just in the stupidity of their world perspective, but who they prioritize, and in the case of the sheriff, sheer incompetence. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead, big local.
And of course, it's not just King County. In Tacoma, their homicide rate is now in the middle of August where it was for all of 2018. And it's almost at double the pace of last year, the homicide rate in Tacoma. At Q13 News, they talked to William Satayakum, who was sobbing because his nephew had just been killed by gangs.
A few. Gang violence. He was a wonderful young man.
And this man told the Q that he is scared every single day.
I'm scared every day. I live right here on the east side of Tacoma, and I'm vulnerable.
The mayor of Tacoma is Victoria Woodards, and she says, yeah, they recognize they're on the wrong path.
What I can say to our citizens, and what I even to that gentleman, is that we recognize that there is a problem, and what we were doing wasn't working. We needed to get directly into the neighborhoods, keeping the work in schools, but getting into the neighborhoods. And so that's what we're doing with the RAIN program and comprehensive life resources.
You know, we just, until we start cracking down on crime, until we stop the catch and release nonsense, these politicians that we got all around this region, it's unbelievable. And she acknowledged that their homicide rate has now reached the level of all of last year.
So far this year, Tacoma has seen 18 homicides, outpacing last year's number already.
Is that on your radar?
Absolutely, it is. It is on my radar. You know, we average about 12 homicides a year, and so the fact that we're 18 and it's only August is very disheartening to me.
Yeah, well, we've got some loons running local law enforcement, and we've got prosecutors who play catch and release. And we've got some forces that are making the public much less safe. And that's more proof of it right there. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then our top story, a 3-strikes-you're-out offender supposed to be locked up for life without parole, granted clemency by the governor, violates it, goes back for life. Inslee releases him again. He's been on the run for 3 days now. Nobody knows where he is. David Rose, who tipped me off on this story from Q13 News, he'll join me and tell me what he knows about it next. While we have a revolving door of justice all around the Puget Sound area, one of the things that works still is what the voters passed years ago here in Washington, and that was 3 strikes, you're out. For the most serious felony crimes, the 3-strike offenders would go to prison for life without the possibility of parole. So why are they now looking for a 3-strikes offender here in our state? I was tipped off to this by my friend David Rose at Q13 News, who's just about to play a round of golf. Man, the life of a television news anchor, us radio guys, we never have time for golf, David.
Yeah, right. I believe that for sure.
Man, oh,
well,
man.
I got up early to put this story together for Washington's Most Wanted tonight, and I did send it to you because I'm concerned that this guy's on the run. You know, past behavior is an indicator of future behavior. So when I see a 3-strike felon that's given a second and even third chance, and then he's released back into the community, and then he disappears and doesn't do what he's supposed to do. I think the public, everybody needs to know about that.
Yeah, absolutely. His name's Tracy Hoggett. He's 59 years old. His list of crimes is as long as you can imagine. And as the three-strike felony offenders tend to be, he's got robbery second degree, burglary first degree, burglary second degree, assault second degree, theft second degree. Okay, so three strikes, you're out. Is life in prison without the possibility of parole? This guy was in prison, but Jay Inslee let him out?
Well, the Clemency Board and Governor Inslee approved his release. And said, okay, we believe that you have turned a new leaf, you found God, and you've even made a statement that you're not going to be a harm to the community, we're going to let you go. So they let him go, and 3 months later, he was right back in jail for violating the terms of his release because they found him hanging out with criminals, living where he wasn't supposed to be, and drinking alcohol, all of which violated the terms of his release. So they put him back in jail for 10 more months. They let him out again on clemency on Tuesday. He was supposed to show up in Kelso to his transition house, taking a bus from Yakima through Seattle. He got off the bus in Seattle, never made it to Kelso, and now they've issued a warrant for his arrest because they can't reach him by phone. They don't know where he is, and he's on the run.
You know, what amazed me about this story is that he was, I mean, I know we give the governor the power to pardon people, to grant clemency, but you grant clemency once, and then he immediately falls back in with a criminal crowd, and you lock him up again, and then the governor grants him clemency a second time. I do not understand if somebody is given, I mean, three strikes, you're given a fourth chance if you get clemency, and then you violate the terms again, and the governor gave him clemency another time. That's mind-blowing to me, David.
Yeah, I don't understand what kind of verbal ninja things this guy does to be able to convince the clemency board that he's a great guy and he's not going to be a harm to the community. He consistently shows that he's not going to live up to the rules that he's supposed to. He claimed that he was going to have his fiance come pick him up and drive him down to Calhoun County. That was 2 days ago. Nobody's heard from the guy. So we don't know where he is. We don't know what he's up to. We don't know what he's doing. And, you know, I catch a lot of heat on Washington's Most Wanted for featuring felons in our state repeatedly for committing terrible crimes. And they say, why aren't they a third strike felon? Why are they put back on the street? And I say, well, in our state, when you are put away for a third strike felony, it's a big deal. That means you're gone for good. Well, this takes everything I said and throws it out the window, because if they're willing to just let him back out again down the road 20 years later, because, oh, they think they've turned their life around, then really what are we talking about penalties? We're putting dangerous people back in our community, and that's concerning. And it's very upsetting to the Department of Corrections officers who have to go out and find this guy again, which takes away from all the other supervision and other things they're supposed to be doing. So they're frustrated as well. Now everybody's got to start looking for this guy simply because he was freed after being convicted and should have been in prison for life.
So if they catch him, let's say everybody sees his picture on Washington's Most Wanted tonight, and you guys are able to help round him up, is there any chance that Inslee would give him clemency a third time? I mean, is he finally done?
I think there probably is a chance if he has a good enough story about what really happened. And, you know, it also depends on whether, you know, if he surrenders today and ends this, you know, peacefully. But let's say he decides, and I don't know if this is going to happen, but let's say he decides that he starts drinking again and he needs some money and he goes and robs somebody or he breaks into somebody's house and commits another crime. Well, then whose fault is that, right? Well, that's on us. That's on everybody, our community, the clemency board, the governor, everybody. So that's the concern when you're dealing with these repeat offenders, is that they could offend again.
Yeah, I disagree that it's on us in the community. It's on the clemency board in Inslee, and that's it. The people voted for three strikes, you're out. People have done everything they can to keep guys like this locked up. So that's what's so disturbing about all of this.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, I try to spread around the responsibility, because I think we all have a responsibility to pay attention, keep our community safe, vote in elections, pay attention to what judges are in office. You know, we see so many judges that aren't even running against anybody. They run unopposed. People don't know, you know, they just see a name. They don't know whether they're lenient and set low bails, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I've actually started naming judges, when I have a Washington's Most Wanted fugitive and they go to court, I've started naming them in the coverage, not in a vindictive way, but just in a factual way.
Sure.
When they set a bail like $5,000, I'll start naming the judge just for public information.
Okay. Hey, real quick, because I know you got to go get on the first tee there. But you also, you texted me about, this is one of the most heartbreaking stories I've seen in a long time. A guy in Greenwood, his wife had a therapy dog, a big old friendly bulldog. She passed away. The husband has Parkinson's. He was out walking with the dog. And tell my listeners, if they didn't see your story, tell my listeners what happened to this guy just walking his dog out in Greenwood.
Yeah, he walks very slowly. He's got his bulldog out. A car passes him, turns around, and comes back. A white guy with no tattoos, kind of pale skin, brown hair, gets out of the car, and two black women in their 20s get out of the car. They don't say anything. The guy comes up, grabs the victim, Albert, from behind, body slams him down on the ground. Albert said he got two good licks into his head, picks up the bulldog, steals it, and gets back in the car, and they all leave. So now it's a robbery. Investigators are working hard to try to identify it, and all we want to do is bring this bulldog home. He's a big old tan and white bulldog, more than 100 pounds. Albert just lost his wife. His stepdaughter just lost her mom on the 21st. They had her memorial last Saturday, and now they're dealing with this. And I said, Albert, what's going on in Seattle? You lived here your whole life. He said, I've never seen it this bad.
Yeah.
Never seen it this bad. He said, I don't feel safe.
68-year-old guy with Parkinson's, and he told you what happened.
The guy got out of the car, come over, grabbed me in a bear hug from behind. I turned around and punched him a couple times and right behind the ear. I'm not strong like I used to be. So they shoved me to the ground and grabbed at my dog and took him.
He said that Parkinson's is part of his, or boxing is part of his therapy for Parkinson's. So he tried punching the guy. He said his dog is just a sweetheart.
He's like a big teddy bear. He looks really scary, but he's actually the total opposite. I mean, he'll lick you to death maybe. He's your buddy, and he was my mom's therapy dog for the last 3 years. All of a sudden my mom passed away. She had a heart attack, and we just had her wake on Saturday.
I mean, good Lord, what this family's going through, and this is the one that almost made me start crying when Albert said that he wished he could have fought back against these guys.
Yeah, I used to be a big strong guy before I got lost my started losing my health. I'm an old man. I don't like it a bit.
Oh, Dave, I used to be a big, strong guy before I lost my health. Now I'm an old man. And he just feels awful that he couldn't save his dogs from these thieves on the street. It was just heartbreaking.
Yeah, he is a wonderful guy. I talked to Andrea, his stepdaughter, today to ask if they'd had any news. They said, no, unfortunately, not yet. They just want everybody to keep looking for Quavo, keeping their eyes out, trying to find it, and hopefully police will be able to zero in, you know, on the suspects and figure out what the heck, why are people stealing people's dogs? It's not just taking the dog. You're attacking a vulnerable man who is using a pole to walk down the street, clearly vulnerable by himself, 11:30 in the morning, just out for a walk, and gets attacked on the streets of Greenwood. It's,
yeah.
It's heartbreaking. You're right.
Just lost his wife, battling Parkinson's. Here's what he thinks of the thieves.
They're a scumbag.
Scumbags. There's a lot of scumbags, and you do a great job helping round up the scumbags, David. I appreciate you sharing both of these stories with us, and thanks for coming on with me today.
You got it, Dory. We'll have both those stories that we talked about today on Washington's Most Wanted tonight at 11 o'clock on Q13 Fox. I appreciate your help. Let's make sure there's nowhere left to hide.
Yep, there you go. All right. Hey, no mulligans today. You play every ball.
I can't promise that, but you see, I'll need a couple of breakfast balls because I've been on the radio with you.
You play every ball. I want true scores, okay? All right, thanks, David.
You got it.
Okay, David Rose, Q13 News, joining us with those two stories. Love to hear your thoughts. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I don't know about you, but I would welcome Greenland is our 51st state, or as Barack Obama would say, our 58th state. And here's the thing. Greenland says it has no desire to sell to the United States. If that's the case, I would hope the Trump administration would have the guts to take it by force, that we would mobilize our military and just take Greenland by the end of the weekend. I don't think it'd be much of a fight. I can't believe how freaked out people are that it started with the Wall Street Journal. And throughout the original story about this, they said that Trump was jokingly talking about it in meetings. And then a couple of places in the story, they said, but he may have had some serious. It sounded like it was just a goof from the get-go. And then people pick up the Wall Street Journal story. They don't pick up the tone of the story, because I read the original story. Nobody else in the media picks up the tone of the story. And then everybody's freaking out. And what'd be wrong with buying Greenland? I kind of like the idea. I think it'd be a good conservative place. I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know.
You live there? Really? Hmm? I mean, it's.
Oh, no, it's a horrible place.
It's a terrible place to live.
No, so. Wonderful people. Here's the thing. It was one of the first great marketing scams in history, because my heritage is Iceland, which is right next door. And Iceland is mostly green. But they called it Iceland because they couldn't handle that many people there. So they wanted everyone to think it was covered with ice. Greenland is mostly ice.
I mean, almost all.
Almost all. But they wanted to encourage people to come there because they had so much room. It's the largest island in the world. And they thought if they, you know, gave it this little marketing mm-hmm. name of Greenland.
I mean, 56,000 people lived there. It worked a little.
That's nothing on the biggest island in the world. But most of it's literally covered with ice.
Flying over that is so pretty.
Yeah, other than the South Pole, the largest continuous ice sheet in the world is on Greenland. So anyway, that's a big goof by the president. I mean, it's just so funny how people take that seriously.
I mean, it's a frenzy.
No,
but maybe they needed something to talk about today.
And if not that, then this. At a Trump rally in New Hampshire last night, they kicked out a protesting heckler.
That guy's got a serious weight problem. Go home, start exercising. Get him out of here, please. Got a bigger problem than I do. Got a bigger problem than all of us. Now he goes home and his mom says, "What the hell have you just done?"
Okay. Now, there's one serious problem with this. The protesting heckler was a skinny guy. The heavyset guy was an avid Trump supporter. But he went on Fox and Friends this morning and said he didn't mind what the president said about him.
Turns out he was talking to you.
He was, because he didn't see me rip the signs away from those three people that were sitting near us. And they were trying to cause a ruckus. And they jumped up and they started yelling stuff that I don't even care what they were yelling. But it wasn't going to happen beside me because I'm trying to listen to my president. But I think he thought I was part of it, but I wasn't. I was the good part of it.
What did he say to you?
He said, "Hey, that guy needs to lose a little weight." Everything's good. I love the guy. He's the best thing that ever happened in this country.
The Fastest 15 is next.